Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are getting under the third week of May. This will be aired on the 22nd, actually the day that Lynn and I are returning from our leader retreat over in France.
Yes, I can't wait to hear all the stories you have from that.
Yeah,
but we're all going to have to wait another month or so, because by the time we get to that taping, it'll be a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, we won't be taping until we get back. We're excited about that and getting ready for a beautiful time. Everything's coming together, and it's a lot of planning of details of. Particularly where we want to do site visits and see special things, so we get the privilege of that, and how to put that together and where to go. And we got a big group, so you know, getting restaurants even isn't that easy.
That can be a challenge, right?
So being able to serve us all, but we'll be having great fun. But we've been discussing this series that we just started this week of Christ clutter in the calendar, and it's intended to help us understand how to move from our typical weariness, tiredness, busyness, and the things that occupy our mind to live the joyful, wonderful life of God. That includes margin. There's tasks, but they're done in a way that allows for relaxation and pace and not burdensome. And by the way, it doesn't mean we don't have trouble and we don't have moments, you know, where you're going to have, you know, extra things. So, you know, if you're anybody's in business, you know that there's going to be periodically projects or things that, you know, I'm going to have to spend a little bit extra time on doing that. And that's normal and typical, but the key is not to make that regular.
Right.
So we talked about that Christ said, well, I've come to give you life and give it to you super abundantly, and that means all of life, and that means joy and peace and relationship and adventure, all of these things that are part of his definition of life. And then, of course, we know Satan says, well, my goal is to do the opposite, is to draw you away from that. And because, you know, he knows that there is truth to this, and a lot of people miss this. They think God caused me to live this way. Well, I'm busy because God's, you know, that's God's life for me, is to be busy and tired and weary, and everybody around me is tired and weary. I guess I got to put up with it. And Satan has tricked everybody to say, well, you're blaming God, but he knows and God knows it's a choice. And all he's got to do is make sure that you don't choose to follow God.
Right.
You see, and that's why by default, and Paul goes into this discussion in Romans, he says, it's not like you, well, I'm going to choose to follow God, I'm going to choose to follow the enemy. No, it's when you don't choose to follow God, you're following the enemy.
Say that again, because that's a big deal, I think, that we take for granted, honestly, that that's not really what's going on. So repeat that little phrase one more time.
When you're not following God, you're automatically following the enemy, and it's either or, but it's not I'm in the middle of choosing, I'll follow God, I won't follow God. It's God says, you live in a world, you're physical, and the enemy has control over that world, which is kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
Entropy, and you're going to have trouble in that world. He said, I'm not removing you from that place. You're going to have trouble.
And we all can recognize that.
He says, now, I have a kingdom Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual kingdom, but it's superior to the material, the circumstances, because the original creation was outdone by the spiritual. Mm-hmm. I spoke it into existence.
Right.
And I speak now that can change things because it's still superior to
right.
that. He says, so in order to live out the life that I have planned for you, you have to join me in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, which, by the way, I defined it for you, is righteousness. I put my righteousness on you, and you now can be with me. And it's nothing
right.
you do. You just have to be choose to be with me. Surrender your will. You have joy, and you have shalom, peace. That'll be the characteristic of this kingdom in a very difficult place. So he says, daily,
mm-hmm.
all the time, you're going to have to deny self.
Right.
I release my will to follow his. I stand mm-hmm. in what he's done at the cross, and I follow him, which means I'm being led by the Spirit
mm-hmm.
of all the decisions that I'm going to make and the life that he has planned for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, God says, one of the key elements of my planned life for you is rest
mm-hmm.
and peace. And by the way, he said it's not fuzzy. It's not perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolute. That's my will for you.
Right.
Now, by the way, we all have different circumstances related to that.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, yeah, but you don't know my trouble. It's like, I know. And I understand that at the moment, your trouble is worse than my trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't change God's perspective and the ability to give,
right.
you, give you life and joy. So he says, if you choose me, you surrender your will, you deny self, you come and walk with me, you follow me, you're led by me. If you don't choose me, you automatically go to the flesh, because why? That's our nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're self-centered. We're geared
right.
toward self-decision-making. So it's
so
not,
our default is self. We have to choose to follow him.
Your default is back to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so since Satan understands that, his work is really to get you not to choose God. So you see?
Right. Right.
While, and this is tricky, this is really interesting, while you think you are.
Oh, interesting. Flesh that out a little bit. What does that look like?
Well, I'm a Christian. I'm
mm-hmm.
a believer. I go to church. I choose God. I read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I choose God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Christian friends. I choose God. I want to do things right. I choose God. Hey,
I
wait
have a full calendar of Christian activities.
Hey, wait a minute.
I choose God.
Yep. Wait a minute. I'm choosing God, and since I've chosen God and choosing God, then shouldn't he bless me? Because he's in control, right? And by the way, that's where the confusion comes in, because it's like, I wonder why I'm not doing very well. I wonder why I'm so tired. I wonder why I'm so weary. Did God give me that life and I just have to put up with it? But hey, you get to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, no, you haven't learned to choose me. And when you don't choose me, you automatically are in the opposite camp. And
mm-hmm.
that's your default. So that the key is to learn to follow him. And by the way, he said, if you follow me, I'm going to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you abundant life. When you learn it, and see, all of our leaders have learned. We've all been in places where we wondered, why isn't things going better?
Mm-hmm.
And we started to learn it. We did learn it. We started to experience the superabundant life. And because of that, Kathy, would you ever go back?
No, absolutely not. Once you've tasted it, you don't want anything less, right?
How come?
Because it's best none better.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Because it's not hypothetical.
Yeah.
It's real.
It's real stuff.
It really does happen. We really do wind up in sweetness. We really do wind up in peace. We really do have God resolve issues. We don't have to carry burdens. We learn to live in freedom. And once you learn it, and by the way, that's why we have so many people wanting to come to retreats and take courses is, yeah, you know what? I've seen that in these people that have gone through this.
Right.
Can we do that too? You know, yeah. What we're trying to understand is that it starts with that desire and choices. I'm willing and desiring to enter into the kingdom and purposely learn it. And if I do, it'll be easier to stay in the kingdom. And why wouldn't we, see? So we talked last time about, you know, the enemy is trying to draw you to where you don't enter the kingdom and stay in the flesh, particularly when you think you are in the right spot, but you're really not. It's the ultimate of deception. Hey, I think I'm doing the right thing. I think I'm in the right place, but you're in a completely different place, really. Mm. And you just don't know it.
Right.
And as a result of that, you know, you're in a place where you can't follow God. Like, for example, one of the biggest issues of life is forgiveness. I say, well, do you understand you have unforgiveness? Yes, I do. I do. I understand that. And there's a reason. Right. I have a reason for that. I understand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you like to learn forgiveness? Yeah. So they spend time in the Word and they process it and they come to a point where they say, have you forgiven this person that hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, yes. And they're feeling, I think I have.
Right.
Okay, now, God then will test you.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll bring a scenario with that person that will demonstrate, do you have forgiveness?
Right.
And you'll know it because you'll react in a certain way. See, because God says, I can't leave you in the most dangerous place there is. The most dangerous place there is you think you have something of the life of God, but you really don't. Now think about why. Because you don't go any further.
Right.
Hey, I think I got it. And God says, well, you're in the most dangerous place you are because you think you have it. You actually don't have it. And because you think you have it, you're not going any further with me. I got a little bit more to do with you. And,
right.
you're stopping so early, which is why I'm going to test you. And that's why we raise up the test for all of us. Hey, are you enjoying your abiding?
Right.
Kind of simple. And you know. You can even say you are, but you know you're not.
Right.
Well, God says, you know, hey, we got more to go here because you're in a dangerous spot to say you do, but you don't. Are you enjoying life? Yeah, but you're really not. See, God says, and that the beauty of community, by the way, and this is what's so refreshing about everything we're part of, is if I say to one of our leaders, are you enjoying life? And they're not.
Right.
They say, no, I'm not.
Yeah. Authentic community,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where you actually.
Okay. The way, they know I'm not going to bring judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, now what's wrong with you? It's like, okay, well then do you recognize, first of all, something's not right?
Right.
Yes. Okay. Let me help you. Let's find out what happened here. Let's get you reconnected. Let's get back to the place of joy. Let's get back on that path of God bringing resolution. Let's let him lead you. And again, it's really simple. Okay, forget about what happened. Repent. Repent means just turn around, come walk with him.
Right.
Let me help you walk with him. And then you'll remember, oh yeah, this is good. God's going to give me answers. He's going to give me margin. He's going to give me peace. And he'll resolve the issue because I can trust it. All because I do realize being in the kingdom is where it happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's really beautiful. We want to talk a little bit today about what is behind the issue of Satan pulling us into busyness. So let's look at a couple big biblical reasons here. Isaiah 30, 1-3.
Sure. "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt.
Yeah.
Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation."
Yeah. So,
ouch.
Yeah. Whoa. So when you think of even your work situation and your activity situation, what God is saying here is that you've developed your own plans.
Right.
And it's not leading you to good things at all, even though you believe it is. Why? Because you're not taking my counsel.
Right.
You're not even talking to me about it. You've already decided how you're going to live your life out. You've got your plans.
Right.
I've got my milestones. I've got my timelines of how I'm going to run my business, and I got to get certain things done by a certain time, and I'm responsible for the outcome. And if we don't get the sales, we got to work harder. And you're developing all these plans. And he says, you forgot something. You're not, you're not asking my counsel. And, and again, as we start to understand this, it's, well, think about why he says this, is that, I know more than you. I know what's around the corner. I actually know how to put you in a position to live this out. Why would you not? And I'm not going to force it on you. But you're deciding by in the flesh, which is the enemy's got you there.
Right.
To decide your own task list. And God says, well, if I was you, I'd revalue that and let me give you counsel. Because otherwise you're going to wind up in a place that's going to be barren, dry, and heavy.
Right. This, when I hear this, it reminds me of what is, I think, a very false Christian platitude that you hear people say often is, you know, I'm going to do my best and then let God do the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, the idea that I have to do everything I can and am capable of doing, and then whatever's left over that is out of my control, you know, that will leave to God, instead of recognizing that the entire thing is out of our control and is to be surrendered to Him. We try to control as much as we think we are capable, and think being the key word there, think we are capable of controlling.
Yeah, yeah. I just, interesting enough, this is how, it's funny you bring this up. I was with a group of execs, and we were talking about God's will and you know, leading to God's, you know, places and what He wants, goodness. And the guy makes this comment. He said, well, you know, my pastor has told me that we do our best. I do my best, and God does the rest. I said, now stop. Just stop a second.
Show it to me in the Bible.
I said, say it again. He says it. I said, do you understand the key word in that sentence? It's I. If you decide anything on your own, you are in the flesh automatically.
Right.
And you could do the best job you can. And God says, I can't do anything with this. And this is, this is interesting. How come? He says, because you're not with me. You're over there.
Yeah.
On
your
path.
Doing
your
own thing on self. Yeah.
I have a path for you. And in order for me to deliver that path, you're going to have to be with me. And that's in the kingdom of God. So don't say, I do my best and God does the rest. It's rather, I seek the best by following God, who is the best.
Yes. Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. So yeah, it's a great, great catch there. Okay, go to Ecclesiastes 4:4-6.
All right. Ecclesiastes 4:4-6 says, again, I say that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind.
Yeah. he says labor, grasping for the wind is chasing things that aren't of value. And he said it all becomes vanity because you're deciding on your own what you're going to chase. And literally, he gives the picture of you think you're looking for something solid, and all you're doing is grasping the air.
Right.
There's nothing there. And you're spending all of your energy grasping the air when you're never going to get anything.
Right.
So don't toil based on your own plans of grasping what you think is important, you know, but let God give it to you. Okay, he says this again in Psalm 127, 1 to 2.
Okay, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep.
Okay. He says, if you're not following God, everything you're doing is what?
Vain, vanity.
Vain, worthless.
Worthless.
See, the word there is literally nothingness, worthless, and you wind up in pain, sorrow.
Right.
And he said, it's an absolute. You can be really smart and you can have moments that, you know, seem to be okay, but they're not going to last. And you're going to wind up with nothingness if you're building what you are looking at in your life on your own. He said, let me build it. I'll build it. I'll give it to you. I'll show you. I'll deliver it to you. Let me do it. Don't let it be vanity because it won't wind up in sorrow. It'll wind up in joy. So he said, it's really important that your approach to build it yourself isn't of me, and you're not going to live a life of joy and peace and understanding. Okay, then he gives us this other one element of it, and this is what Moses discovered, Exodus 18, verses, I believe, 13 through 24.
Sure. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter that they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said.
Yeah. Again, he's observing that what you're engaged in is worthy, but the way you're doing it is you're doing too much. And he says, both you and everybody around you are going to be completely worn out.
Right.
It's an absolute truth. You can't keep this up.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing, he says, is not what? good.
It's not good.
This is not, you think it's good, it isn't good. Because because not because of the activity. See, and this is where I got to understand it. Yeah, you could be involved in really good Christian stuff. Mm-hmm. That's good. The way you're doing it is not good.
Right.
For who? For you. See, why? Mm-hmm. Because you're getting tired. You're getting weary. You're getting worn out. You're not going to make it.
Right.
By the way, you're going to lose your joy.
It also says it's not even good for the people around him.
No.
The ones that he's serving, because they are now waiting days on end in line for this. You know, it's not good for them either.
Yeah. And then by the way, as you get tired, you'll be able to do it less. You won't be as effective anyway. You know, so he says, you got to learn to delegate and put other things and to let other people do things that assist you. So this is a big principle in business, particularly for executives to develop delegation and other people that can do things properly and then help them do the same thing. But it also can be your personal life. It can be things around you. So that are there ways, and usually it's around greed, that instead of paying for somebody to do a few things, well, I'll do it myself. So you're working, you know, Monday through Friday, and then Saturday you're doing all these stuff around the work. Sunday you're doing all the stuff around home, and you never get a break because they have to be done. So like for example, at our house, we do have a yard that has to be mowed.
Right.
Well, we've got grandsons. And we pay him a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. Would you please mow the yard? Yes, sure. Well, they have time to do it. And that relieves me of not having to do it.
Right.
So I don't do that on Saturday. I don't have to mow the yard on Saturday. I can be with Linda on Saturdays. And so we look at those kind of things of what can we do to have other people do things to help live our life out and learn this aspect of delegation. And we'll go deeper into this. But one of the biggest issues is that you're doing way too many things by yourself. And you got to learn to do that in community. And we'll talk more about that.
I know we'll get into this more, but I just want to insert here for anybody who's listening, just to highlight, don't hear that everything's going to be hired out. So I'm a single mom, I'm this, I'm that. These aren't options for me. What Rich just said there, learning to live in community is going to be a key part of this as we dissect this. There are other ways to be able to get this freedom and to be able to delegate things that go beyond just paying for them. And we'll talk through some of those as we go. So I don't want anybody writing it off right now just because they feel defeated wherever they're sitting.
Right. That's right. A good, very good point. There's all kinds of wonderful creative ways. And community, by the way, is really important because it can really facilitate it.
Yes.
And networking. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you show us that when we don't include you in guiding us and develop our own plans, we just get tired and weary and overwrought. We're chasing the wind, things that aren't going to be of value. We wind up in sorrow and heaviness, particularly when we don't learn to delegate and we take it all on ourselves. So we just pray that we'll understand that. We know that's a trick of the enemy, that we'd be willing to process through to a different place as you teach us this so that we can live the life that you have intended. And mostly that we'd like to live in and receive your counsel, which will absolutely give us this beautiful place. And we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. Looking forward to more conversations on all of this. Hope you guys are finding this encouraging and challenging both. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.